We're in Romans 2. There is another chapter in Romans. Verses 1 through 4. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them, and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads towards redemption?
Are you in Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 4? You there? I'm there. I read through this. I may have even talked a little bit about judgment just before I went to the Easter thing, but I'm come back to this passage of Scripture. I want to give you an observation. When was the Seven-Day War? Was that back in 1976, 70-something? There's another war that happened in Israel. I was just called into the ministry. I don't remember when it was. And I was in a small Baptist church that Jeannie was at. She was 1948. No, I wasn't called to ministry then. But this, they were attacked. Israel was attacked. And the next Sunday, it was the first time that within a six-month period that I was preaching at that small Baptist church. And I came to church that morning, and Israel had been attacked. It was packed. The church was packed. Because everybody thought that it was Armageddon. It was that way for about 3 weeks. And it ended. The war ended. People quit coming to church. I don't know if you remember that. I do. I know that I'm 59, but 69. I'm sorry. I know I'm 69, but I remember that. And I thought, wow. So Israel was attacked again. This is the second time since October. I don't know what's happened, but I don't know if anything's going on right now. I don't know if anything's going to. But I want you to look at the church we're in. Is it packed? Matter of fact, is there any new people? Did anybody cancel anything they had to do to be here? No. Why? The fabric of our society back when that happened, when I was just, it's been 40-some years ago. The fabric of our society, which was moral in its base, that's stripped away. The morality of our society is gone. Our understanding of who and what God is and did is gone. Easter was a representation of that. Our leadership of our country during that time would ask us to pray, and they would talk about the resurrection of Jesus. Our leadership, our political leadership would do that. They don't do that now. They make it. O.J. Simpson died. You knew that? They told us to lower our flags at half mass. Didn't you know that? Yeah. A murderer. I am so glad you attend your church. I just really appreciate it because you're right. And the society in which we live in is no longer what it was 40 years ago. It's no longer what it was during World War II or even when I was raised in the 50s during the Korean War. When I was in elementary school back in Clarksburg, West Virginia, in a small school, four-room schoolhouse. You guys may have went to a one-room schoolhouse. I went to a four-room schoolhouse, two stories. And the teacher would read scripture every morning. We would pray. Yes, that's right, Andy. Yes. They would a pledge allegiance to the flag. We got milk at recess. We got all that kind of. Nobody prays anymore. Why? The fabric of our society has changed. Now, for 40-some years, our children's children, and I have children's children's children, my great-granddaughter is raised in a society that's very close to the Roman society. You wondered where I was going. What about the Roman society? There was no mention of God. There were gods. There were all kinds of gods. There was witchcraft. Matter of fact, the leaders of the religious orders during the Roman Empire and the Egyptian Empire could do incantations through the occult, demonic influence. And so Jesus is introduced to them. And in the first chapter of the book of Romans, Paul details the nature of the sin of the society of the Roman people. And some gave their heart to the Lord. Those people were persecuted. The society was so bad that those Christians were persecuted and were persecuted until Constantine declared Christianity the state religion. Did you know that? Long time. They met in catacombs. We're just glad that Ralph lets us come here. Thank you, Ralph.
Thanks,
Ralph. We don't have to be in catacombs. But the problem was a terrible thing happened that once these Roman Christians gave their heart to the Lord, they began to look at other people. And it says there in verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, therefore, you have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. Somebody in that Roman community who was a pagan, who knew nothing of God, gave their life to Christ, and now they're standing around condemning other people. But he says, you have no excuse. Because at whatever point you judge one another, you're already condemned already. You're condemned already. In John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that he died for us, that we may have eternal life. But we're condemned. It says we're condemned already. So Paul is saying, look, every person on the face of the earth is captured by sin and death. Let me share something with you. I don't care who you are. If you do not trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you do not have an allegiance with Christ, you are captured by death. You're in bondage to death. I don't care how successful you are or how deep in trouble you are. I don't care how smart you think you are. You are captured by death without Jesus Christ. And what Jesus Christ does in his resurrection is conquer death. And in the conquering of death, when he conquers that and we accept him as our Savior, as our Lord, he releases us from the bondage of sin and death. We're cleansed and made whole. You with me? That's what he's trying to teach these people. Did you know in the city of Winchester, it didn't used to be like this? Or downtown Berryville? There are people in your community who does not have an understanding of who God is. Did you know that? They may have a religious understanding. They may believe religiously in a being, but they don't know who God is. They do not know who. Tell you the story. I had a young lady in my office, 27 years old. And she came for some help, and I'm trying to help her. And I'd never met with her before. I said, I need to ask you some questions. And she said, okay. I said, were you ever in a church? She said, oh, yeah, Grandma took me. Mom and Dad didn't because they weren't around. But Grandma took me to church. And I said, how old were you when you quit going? Oh, when I was 16, I could drive. I picked Grandma up, took her to church, and then I went and did what I wanted to when she was 16. And I said, do you consider yourself a Christian? She says, yes. I said, why? She says, I believe there's Jesus. And I said, well, where's he living? She said, inside of me. And I said, how do you know it? See, I'm tough on people. How do you know she lives inside of you? She goes, well, I don't know. I said, well, let me ask you this. This will clarify things for you. If you were to die tonight and you were to go to the pearly gates and Peter would say to you, why should I let you in to heaven? She'd say, oh, I don't know why I should go to heaven. I then shared with her how she could know. And I said, do you believe that if you were to die tonight? She'd go, no, I don't believe that. I don't know. She says, I've done some terrible, awful things in my life. She's just like the rest of us. Haven't you? We all have. So don't think you're better than her. Don't be like the Romans and judge. She bowed her head. Oh, I said, all you have to do is acknowledge Jesus as Lord and confess your sins. And she goes, I got to confess all my sins? I said, well, let me show you. And she said, well, let me pray. I said, wait, let me help you. It's easier this way. And I led her in what is called a sinner's prayer. Tears came to her eyes. She cried. She had religious understanding. The Romans have an understanding of their society in which they live in. Do you know it doesn't take people very long to know and figure out the rules of living in the community in which you live in? If you moved in to a community where there was all outlaws, you would either move out or learn to be an outlaw. Did you know that's the way human beings are? You don't know that? How about your children when you send them to college? They either know Jesus Christ or they learn to be a pagan in college. It's the way it is. That's why more and more people are urging their children to go to a vocational school. In many vocational schools, they still believe in prayer, in God. Teach them hard work, how to handle a business. Many colleges don't do that. Why? The religious godly moral fabric of that society is gone. It doesn't exist. What's replaced it is what people are calling woke. What does that mean? Do what you feel is right in your own eyes. Ecclesiastes. Do what is right in your own eyes. Ecclesiastes. Wow. That's what he's talking about here. And there are children in your community where you live who have no moral understanding of right and wrong. Children that tell lies because they want what they want. Children that steal things. I'm not talking about Christian family. I'm talking about the children that are around the world and that you live in. There are children who are under 12 years old that have no fear to shoot someone with a gun they find or steal. The Roman people raised their children to be ungodly because they did not know God. So they became what the world was they lived in. And these people gave their heart to the Lord, and they began pointing fingers at other people that weren't what they thought was living right. Now let's talk about judgment. Judgment here that he's talking about is that you form an opinion about someone's behavior that does not qualify them to go to heaven. You form the opinion that you don't think they are on the way to heaven. That's judgment. We as a born-again Christian do not have permission. Listen to this statement. We do not have permission to tell people that they are going to hell or not. Did you know that? We have permission to teach about Jesus, about the gospel, the good news, the death, the resurrection, the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. When you talk to people about Jesus, it will convict them of sin. If you talk about their sin to them, they will not like you. Did you know that? And that's what he's telling these people here in this first part of this chapter 2. He says, I love verse 4. I'm going to go clear down to verse 4. He says, "Or do you not show contempt for the riches of his kindness?" When I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I still would lie. Jesus had kindness towards me. He didn't shoot me just because I lied, even after I was saved. Did you know that? What's that?
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus. But these Christians were condemning other people. Say, oh, they're going to go to hell. They're lying. I'm only using that. We could use bitterness. Judgment of yourself. He says, you have contempt. See, this is the teaching that Jesus taught when the man went to the king, the parable he told, the king forgave this debt that this man had, and the man that he forgave his debt went out, and he threw in jail a person that owned less than 10% of what he owed the king and threw him in jail until he could pay it. And the king found out and brought the man back whom he forgave his debt, and he threw him in jail. That's contempt of what somebody did for you. What's the next one down there in verse 4? Forbearance. It's not patience. It means he put up with you the way you are. Kindness is he expresses loving kindness to you. Love, acceptance, and forgiveness. Forbearance is he puts up with you. In your dysfunctional life, he puts up with you until you are able and understand the power of God in your life to transform you and save you from the problem you're dealing with as a Christian. Not save you from your sins. You've been saved by Christ, these people. But he gave them forbearance. He does not care how long it takes for you to overcome it. My father, when he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I heard him talking to my mother, and he said he thought God wanted him to quit smoking. And Dad went on, and for 2 or 3 years, Dad smoked. And then one day he walked in, and he put his cigarette up on the refrigerator. God forbore him all that time while he was saved until God was able to attack the flesh in my dad that loved smoking. He was 39 years old. He started smoking when he was 8. And he laid his cigarettes up there and he never had another cigarette after that. He fell out of his truck 3 times that day because he was so dizzy, because he was giving up smoking. Forbearance. I had a guy, I was pastoring a church, and I had a guy that he was a veteran, okay? I don't know what he went through. I don't know what happened to him. He loved Jesus. He would teach scripture in Sunday school. And this guy came to me in the church and he says, "You know what I saw today?" I said, "I don't know. What do you see today?" He said, "I saw so-and-so go into the VFW and I know why he went in there." And I said, "Why?" He said he went in there and drank. I said, "Okay." He was condemned. He was judging him. We don't know what went on in that man's life. And I never said anything to the man. I said, "Jesus, this is your issue." A month later, I was with a guy. He said, "Mike, I need to tell you something." I said, what do you need to tell me?" He says, "I go to the VSW. And I said, "Well, big deal. What's that mean to me?" He said, "But I go in there and I'll get a drink and I'll talk about war stories with my buddies." I said, "Okay." I said, "Are you praying about?" "Yes, I asked the Lord to help me." I said, "Okay." Now, why do I say that? Because of what Paul says. It says, after patience in verse 4, he says, in other words, you have ignorant understanding of the purposes of God's patience, forbearance, and kindness. You forget the grace. He's describing grace here. We as most teachers don't understand grace. He said, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead us to repentance. Wow. I need to live a repentant life. See, when Jesus Christ came and entered into me, he cleansed and he took a hold of death and he took it by the neck and he just chomped it in two and cast it out of my life. Death was gone. Then he began to work on my mind, to transform my mind, to reteach me and to educate me of what a righteous lifestyle is. Not perfect. Notice I didn't say perfect. Righteous. And then he began to work on my will. And he began to take my will and form it to the will of Christ. He began to transform me into the nature of Christ. Do you know how long God has been working on my will? Do you know how many times I got up out of the dust and felt the dust in my mouth because my will was not conformed to the image of Christ? He works on my emotions. My emotions. It doesn't help that we live in a society which tells us that our emotions are the most dominant feature of our life. And they're not. There is no science out there about the will. There's a science out there about the emotions. And God was kind. He was forbearance toward me. And he's patient. I am 69. Did I get that right? Okay. August, I'll be 70. It'll be easier after August. You understand that? Okay. I'll say 70. Jeannie said, no, you'll start saying 71. So, I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 18, 17 to 18. It was right in. See what how I am? I've known the Lord that long. And he has judged me righteous because of Jesus in my life. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ and are being led to repentance, that means after, if you're a Catholic and you've had your communion, your first communion, after communion, a Catholic should pursue Christ with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. A Protestant, after the baptism, you should be pursuing Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And God creates within you an atmosphere of grace and mercy so that you can be transformed into the person God wants you to be. And we do that. Now, if you don't do it through repentance, you struggle with James chapter 1, verse 13, where you're dragged away and enticed by your evil desires, whatever they are. It's really interesting. We all have different evil desires we battle with. So Israel's attacked again. Somebody's evil desires taken over. The trouble is that the Jewish nation and the Arab nation, there are many countries that are Arab. And when I say the Arab nations, they're all the same. They all know why they're fighting. There was a guy by the name of John Cook that used to hang around. There was about five boys. And I was the youngest of all five of them. There were guys that were senior when I was in the ninth grade. And we played basketball together. We played touch football. One day, John was making fun of me. It usually didn't bother me. Maybe I didn't have a cheeseburger that day. I don't know what was wrong with me. But I grabbed a hold of John Cook, and we began to wrestle. They you could call it a fight. He hit me a couple times. I hit him. No bruises. And we fought. And we were in a place where when we rolled in fight, we ended up in a briar patch. It ended the fight quick. I don't know if you've ever rolled into a briar patch while you're fighting, but it woke me and him up. I don't remember why John and I fought that day. I don't know what he said to me. I can't remember. But the Arabs know it's not over the land. It's over inheritance that the Jewish people have that the Arabs didn't get. And they say they were the firstborn. I told Jeannie, I said, things are going to get bad. They're going to get bad. I don't know how bad they'll get. I don't know how long they'll last. But they're going to get bad. I don't know what that means. Somebody says, oh, it's the end of the world. When the end of the world comes, you all won't know it because we'll be gone. It was just like that day the sun did whatever it did. What was it called? An eclipse. And there were people on the internet saying, Mayan priests were going to resurrect. Did you hear that garbage? I said, I killed three of them in the backyard. People actually write that. We do not have a society where God is acknowledged anymore. Do you know that? There's only a small percentage of the people in America that love Christ. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm not talking about reading the Bible. I'm talking about that love Christ with all their heart, soul, mind, strength. And so Paul was trying to educate to these people that they need to live a life of repentance. Now next week, we're going to talk about me some more because it says, because of your stubbornness, guess who that is? Here's something I want you to think about. Do you realize that if there's anything inside of you where there is stubbornness, you have an unrepentant heart in that area? Oh, my goodness. We are going to talk about me next week. So did Caleb go to the bathroom? There he is. No, he's hiding behind the welcome sign. Can you come and play a song for us? You bought part of the band back. Three out of the four people. Diane, are you still here? We're not going to talk about you next week. You're not stubborn, or right? She's not, is she?
No comment.
Silence is a speaks a lot, doesn't it? I know I'm stubborn. But also know that Jesus Christ is my Lord. You may not know that. You may think you're a good person. See, and while he's playing the song, I need to tell you this. If you judge yourself good, then that's an unrighteous judgment. If you judge yourself as wretched, that is an unrighteous judgment. Somebody said, well, Paul said, what a wretched man am I. You know why Paul said that? Because God told Paul that. The judgment must come from God. And whatever your state is, only Jesus Christ can give you righteousness, forgiveness, cleansing. Let's stand. And while Caleb's just playing here, I'm going to pray. Lord, for several days, we've heard on the news that Iran was going to bomb or do something to Israel. And then after I came in from last night and I heard that rockets had been fired. He said over 200. In my heart of hearts, I felt something was going to happen. I don't know what it is. It's not good. People are going to die. Jewish people are. Iranian people are. Some other countries are going to have. Israel will not let himself be destroyed. Now, with the spiritual things that are going on beyond that, have to do with the coming of Christ the second time. I don't know what this means. I don't mean it's going to happen this week, next month, or next year, but this has something to do with it, Lord. I ask that you become the Lord of this war. It's not a conflict. It's a war between two people. And you need to be the Lord of it. And I'm so glad that you are. And I'm so glad that you have a righteous view in judgment. And you are holy. For you are the living God. Protect those in harm's way. Whoever's harm and way it is. Just bless us. And if there's somebody here, Lord, that needs to become honest with you and needs to ask God to forgive you or ask you to forgive them of their sin, I want you to touch them. I don't care if they're young or old or middle-aged. I don't want anybody to walk out of here without a chance to give their life to Christ, to know Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.